is focused on global commitment to universal education in Honduras, as well as feeding the homeless in India and in Africa. So he's also had mobilizing support for democratic transitions in Africa and the Middle East, and he's going to bring that passion and enthusiasm for changing the lives of individuals here today as he speaks to us. So with that, I won't take any more of his time, but please join me in welcoming Ambassador Wilson to the stage.
Thank you, Kyle, and hello, students of Penn State University. Give yourselves a hand. I want to congratulate you for putting your efforts into education and also advancing the efforts ultimately of the United States of America, the greatest country in the world. You still believe that? It is. Well, I was wondering, did you guys win a Super Bowl or something? Was that around here somewhere? I don't know where the lines are. I know you have Pittsburgh, you have Pennsylvania, you have all these different things going on, but it was pretty cool. So I am honored to be here with you today. I want to thank all of the staff. I want to thank all of those involved in making this happen. I was privileged to walk around the campus and get a tour. Jamie and the team walked me around, and it was just incredible. It's incredible to see the Penn State campus. I hear that you're up to about 50,000 in attendance. That's the size of most large suburban cities going on right here in Penn State University. So I want to just commend you on all the efforts. So I want to talk with you today. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to take you on a journey. I'm going to take you through some global interest, and there will be some times for questions and answers, so feel free to make notes, and whatever question comes to your mind while we're talking, feel free to ask. I am definitely open to answering news that you might hear in the media. Do I believe in fake news? Absolutely. So we can definitely shed some light on some things here tonight. It's also important that you know that I'm also a reverend, a preacher of the gospel, and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and the one true God, and that is still the ultimate, ultimate celebration of mankind. But as we move into this, our tech people can put our first slide up. I want to show you this. I want you to take a look at this, and I want it to speak to you. When you see this graphic, what is it telling you? What comes to mind? I want to take you on a practical journey and tell you, the next generation, about some of the most important things that we have to be involved in and we have to be aware of. First of all, the world is getting smaller. Because of the rise of technology and information, the world is at reach, at the palm of your hand. If you have a cell phone now, you can scan the globe in a matter of seconds. Never before have we seen such power and such technology that can even be at the disposal of a 7-year-old. The world is changing. The world is getting to a place where no one can control it. I want that to sink in, because when we start talking about technology, we're also talking about power. Now, I travel the world as a goodwill ambassador, and I'll tell you a little bit about that as we go on. But as I travel the world, one of my main goals is to be an observer and to learn and to be a student of what the world is telling us. And this is getting fastly out of hand. The technology is growing, and we really can't control it. Not only is technology getting to where we can't control it, but also the world is getting a little bit out of control. There's never been as many natural disasters as we have been seeing in modern time. Just last year, you remember all the hurricanes and all the things that took place that just shocked us. Some called it climate change and some just call it change, but it is happening. We're literally also, when you look at news and media, you would think that we're on the verge of total anarchy. Now, let me just say that it's not just because people are evil. I don't believe that everybody is evil. But it's the old-fashioned statement that everybody wants the benefits of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So when people don't have happiness, and when they don't have quality life, and when they don't have the liberty of choice, they get desperate. So when you start looking at things in the news and media, think desperation versus them being an evil person. Let me give you some statistics for us to think about, especially in your generation. We have to understand that from the age of 24 and under, statistically, we are finding out that we're reaching rapidly 4 billion young people around the world. Let me explain to you what that means. When you start thinking 4 billion young people, that number staggers us. When you think in America alone, if you count everybody, including the cat, the dog, and the fish in America, we might be about 300, let me be real liberal, 380 million. But when you think globally, under the age of 24, you can have a number that's closely and vastly reaching 4 billion young people, not counting over that age. The numbers of our population is growing. Now, let me say something about this next generation that's reaching closely 4 billion people. Most of them are living in a desperate situation. Most of them have no hope. They wake up to poverty, no answers. They wake up to oppression. They wake up to danger. So they're looking for that hope. And we're finding out that there are radical groups around the world that their number one goal is to target the 24-year age and under group, that 4 billion people. They want to target them. They want to offer them false hope, and they want to indoctrinate them. All over the world, this is going on, and I call it myself, my personal label, it's called radical recruitment. Radical recruitment of kids who have no clear idea of their future, and somebody gave them hope. As Americans, we ought to do numbers and say, well, if it's 4 billion today, how many will it be tomorrow? And as the American population, our numbers aren't growing, we're sustaining or decreasing, and the world is multiplying. Every day, if it is radical recruitment, that is the mindset that's growing, and liberty and freedom is decreasing, every day, the world is becoming more dangerous. So what we're looking at in this sign is this is what our governmental systems in the free world has been looking at around the world. And when we look at one world government, our governmental systems have been saying, we've got to do something. So when you think America, don't just think America, because we're all responsible for one another, because what is overseas today can be in our backyard tomorrow. And our governmental leaders are looking and saying, we have to do something. So I remember that historical speech by George W. Bush Sr. in 1991 when he addressed the world, and he said, it is time for a new world order. He said it something like this. He said, we have to face down the threat that's against humanity. Now, we all know, and I know particularly as a reverend, the real answer is in Jesus. If we start bringing the gospel to people, that is going to radically change any mindset that is evil or against truth. But, of course, our world may not be ready for that. So what our world did was they got together and they formed a union, a global union so that they can add strength and they can look upon the world and protect the world. So just a little over 70 years ago, the United Nations was born. Next slide. The United Nations, which is not too far from here, in the great city of Manhattan, New York, where I have been working now for just under 5 years. The United Nations is the most important location on the planet. Now, when I talk about that, let me clarify and let me qualify. The United Nations is an administrative body. What it does is it simply tries to help build bridges, and it tries to help build relationships and structures and communities and humanity. So it's basically an administrative body. It's not interested. Our number one goal is peacekeepers. It's not interested in advancing war, but peace. Now, there are bumps in the road along the way, of course, but that's the goal of the United Nations. The United Nations was a coming together of sovereignty nations and countries with the hope of saying, if we all work together, we can have a better tomorrow. That was the goal. We have about 193 member states, including the United States of America. Including the United States of America, we had 193 member states that have come together, and they have pledged allegiance to the ways and the administration of the United Nations. Have you ever heard of sanctions? Have you ever heard of inspections? And all these things are ran through the United Nations because everyone has come together and say, we will, even if we're fighting, we'll let the United Nations be the mediator. So as we work with the United Nations, we can also govern and make sure sovereignties are following the proper regulations. So America also has sworn allegiance to the UN so that America can have an international voice, so that America can have an international strength where they can say, this must be done or we will penalize you with sanctions. And then in that return, all the other systems will do accordingly. Now, could we operate in America without the United Nations? And I know that's a big question. Well, I guess we probably could today. But the question is, what would happen tomorrow? America right now has the governing spot at the UN. They're kind of like the quarterback. It's good being the quarterback in a crazy world. Okay, you can decide who to throw the ball to. Okay, now, let's just say America bows out and steps aside and says, we want nothing to do with international relations anymore. Somebody else will be very happy to quarterback. Do we want someone else quarterbacking the world at a time like this? I think we want America in a position of strength in a time like this. So as we look at how the UN has worked for that purpose, to be a bridge builder and to be a community development system. Now, it's very interesting when you start talking about how all of this gets done. About 5 years ago, close to 5 years ago, I was invited to the United Nations. I was a pastor, and I also have worked in many community development projects around the country and have done some things to develop communities, but I was invited. And if you want to hear the story, the amazing miracle of how I was invited to the UN, you have to stay for the next session. But the next session gets exciting and spiritual and pretty powerful, okay? But I was invited to the United Nations from the Secretary General's office. They said, we want you to explain to us how and what you do as a pastor, because there had been some miracles that happened with United Nations staff in our church. So when I came to the United Nations, we began to tell that story, and it caught the heart of the global leaders of the world while I was speaking, and they allowed me to come and have sessions at the United Nations talking about all types of things, including religion, but also all types of things. So in that process, in these number of years, I was building relationships and meeting people and trying to help people and offer advice. And in the midst of that, there was a situation that happened at the UN where they were looking to build bridges and they needed to appoint another goodwill ambassador. So because I had some relationships and some friendships, and you'll hear about all that in the next session, they said, we need the Reverend to be our next goodwill ambassador. They said, the who? The Reverend. There's a Reverend here? Yes. So sure enough, with all of those votes, they appointed me the 2016 Goodwill Ambassador to the United Nations. So let me show you the slide. And my appointment, which they post on Twitter, this is the official Twitter post. It says they want to introduce the next Goodwill Ambassador, Reverend Art Wilson. Now, this is kind of long, but they're into that. Goodwill Ambassador and Special Envoy on Peace and Development for the World Association of the United Nations for Interns and Fellows. Literally, the title that's the most important is Special Envoy. In the process of all of this that was going on and all of the things that were happening in the world, they were looking for people that they could give authority that could go in and help global change. So they gave me the title Special Envoy. So let's talk about that a little bit. There are all kinds of ambassadors and there's all kinds of leaders. Now, I do not work for the UN. I'm appointed. So if anybody's mad at the United Nations, I'm not an employee. I'm just here to help, okay? I'm just here to help. But think about this. We all have our own ambassador, Nikki Haley. She's the United States ambassador to the UN, okay? So what a sovereign ambassador that represents a country does is they protect on the General Assembly floor, they protect the interest of that country, okay? So that would be the United States ambassador to the UN. Now, in the midst of that, we have what we call free agent ambassadors. Now, the ambassador that protects a country, like a Nikki Haley, their interest is only America, and they are to fight for the interest for America. They're like a defensive player, okay? But a goodwill ambassador, there are different goodwill ambassadors. There are messengers of peace. You know, those are the movie stars that they take pictures and they do commercials. You know, like when Angelina Jolie, one of my comrades, she'll go take a picture of the baby and say, you've got to do something. Okay, they do all the advertisements for us, and they try and build that awareness, okay? So they're the face of the organization. They're goodwill ambassadors, messengers of peace. And then there are special envoys, which is very few of us. What we do is we are bridge builders who look to operate under diplomatic immunity. And what I can do is when they see my title, they know that I'm not coming to fight for anybody or to fight against them. I'm coming to sit down and listen. And then when I hear the problem, if it's with another sovereignty, we will try and bridge those gaps. Or if there's just an issue in their country, we want to offer solutions and we want to offer assistance. So they love to see me coming. They said, oh, it's Art Wilson. Great. We don't want to see the other person. We want to, because I may come and we may be able to help finances, raise money, and all these other things. Matter of fact, let me show you a 2-minute video of a little bit of what we're doing this year. This is my press release for this year. Let's see if this works.
The Secretary General says, I count on young people to hold their leaders accountable for the promises they have made. I also count on your engagement as we embark on implementing our global, universal, sustainable development agenda.
This is your moment. This is your opportunity today.
I hope you can make a lot of noise. I hope you can shine a lot of light. I hope you can bring all the colors and all the sounds and all the energy that not only you, but all those you work with have, so that you could transform our world.
For the first time in history last year, we brought in all the smartest college students around the world to the General Assembly. That's the clip you were looking at.
Hello, my name is Art Wilson, Goodwill Ambassador to the United Nations World Association of Interns and Fellows. And I'm excited to share with you information about our newest foundation, International Community Development. International Community Development is a program, an NGO, that I have founded to aid in local and international affairs. In today's society, there's such a need for community development and humanitarian aid. The need is actually overwhelming. And as a Goodwill Ambassador, my duty and job is to get involved in helping us create a better world. My appointment is Special Envoy, where I want to be a bridge builder to all of the aspects in our world that need to be connected so that the human race, us, mankind, can form a better tomorrow. We're working right now, I'm excited to tell you, in the country of India, where we have aided already in information and research to help with poverty and community development. We've looked at the same programs in the country of Honduras, where we've already appointed a delegate to international community development to oversee the affairs there for poverty and education and leadership training so that people can develop their community. We're also looking to work in China, where we have created an ESL program online where the young people can come together and learn English in a teaching setting through the internet. It's a revolutionary idea that's going to change China, we believe. Our last program that we're looking to get involved in, which is a very serious program, is working in the South Sudan, where the poverty and the community development is at a disaster level. We feel urgent that we need to go there to the South Sudan and help provide answers to that community and to that leadership. And we're asking you, your foundation, your business, or you as an individual, get involved. Let's do something. Let's make a difference. Come on and be a part of international community development. Help us make tomorrow a better world for all of us. Thank you.
So this is where we're focusing at. In 2018, we are, as a special envoy, I'm making it a point that we're not going to just talk. We're going to get involved and make some crucial changes for our world that we think is going to help for a better tomorrow. And there's been a lot of issues. And I know you have all been watching closely what's been going on in our world. And you notice that most of our leaders don't have any answers. Matter of fact, they just don't want to talk about it. We want to bring up issues and we want to ask questions, and they say, we're not going to talk about that. We don't really have an answer. Well, the truth is they really don't have a lot of answers for some of these things. We're at a place in our world where we have reached a roadblock on what to do next. So what I did was I began to discuss with different global leaders a radical idea. I said, our biggest problem has been information and getting people connected and getting people interested. And my argument was, we're finding out that the biggest network in the world